Shop the biggest range of big brand fragrances at the lowest prices this Mother's Day at Chemist Warehouse.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
From the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
What a sad indictment on the game of rugby league. Was anyone just listening to the news just then? Kurt Capewell ruled out of tonight's game. Kev Walters. Rugby league used to be a hard man's game. Kurt Capewell's hurt himself, drying himself with a towel.
What kind of towel? Was it, it sandpaper?
Mighty abrasive. A P80 piece of towel. Some of those towels are tough.
Gotcha. That's got to be an excuse. Something else is happening. Has he fallen off a skateboard and he's lying,
Mark? Is Margot making a cup of coffee? Is she?
Mate, I've got some news for you.
Someone send her in at some stage, please.
No, Margot. I've heard of this in companies, Marto, where you get your own birthday off. What I've never heard of is when you get your partner's birthday off work.
There'll be an investigation. It is Corey Parker's 40th birthday today, and Margot's sick. Could it be that she's worried that he might get some attention?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor kid.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Listen, any normal listeners to Triple M will know that we've been covering the election campaign in our own special way. We haven't been featuring the Labor Party or the Liberals. They get all the attention. We've been trying to focus on these alternate parties, and we keep on discovering there's more and more of them, like this mob.
Hi. I'm Stoner Green from the Australian Marijuana Party. I know you'll say, hey Stoner, where have you been so far in the campaign? Oh, we forgot it was on. Some of you oldies will remember us from 40 years ago when we ran candidates but never won a seat. Our aim has always been to get more dopes in Canberra. And we realise now you're ready, Australia. We encourage all you green thumbs to get involved in natural cures for anxiety and injuries. And if you go to our website, you'll see ways to set up all your hydro gear. And where was I? Yep, we're here for you, Calm Australia. Of course, we're supported by most of the big fast food companies and Stuff the Sausage Sizzle and How to Vote cards on election day. We'll be handing out loads of baked goods and gummy bears. Like Albo, we have no idea about cash rates and unemployment levels, and we don't care. If you and we can be stuffed together, we'll see you on election day. Ooh, I need to lie down. I'm greening out.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
For your Thursday morning on Triple M, Marto and Margot minus Margot.
Oh,
What's happened, mate?
What a quiet old morning it's been in here at Triple M. The whirlwind never arrives. Like every day, just after 4 o'clock in, she comes and it's just mayhem and havoc.
Yeah, but you know what? There is one bloke who's been dealing with it more this morning. Yep. He's actually copping it for us.
Happy birthday, Corey Parker.
Happy birthday, Parker.
Hello. Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks very much.
Now, what...
We couldn't get one made with Corey. We've had to go with Helen for a bit.
Mate, what's it been like? Have you, on the day of your 40th birthday, have you had to wait on your ill wife hand and foot?
Well, I've heard what you guys have been talking about. Mm. Unfortunately, like of all days to... for your birthday, whereas it's a walk-up start, right?
With
your birthday, you
that's
know,
right.
Like, well, that's not happening. She's in bed, which is quite crook. So
the one day of the year, for men my age,
it's like a. It's like she's planned it, to be fair.
Well, she was complaining about a sore throat yesterday, Corey. She's put a bit of top spin
well
on this.
Played.
Yeah, it's about 12 hours out. She's seen it coming, cos her.
Well, I go away today for a couple of days, and back Sunday last night was sort of the family night, thinking, you know, birthday presents, et cetera, and bunged on the old, oh, I'm a bit crook. I was like, oh, of course you are. answer the question, she's still tucked up in bed, and I'm off with the kids off to school. So
you're running with the theory that she really is ill.
Yeah, I have to.
Smart man.
Hey, listen, can I ask you a rugby league question before we just wanted to check, make sure.
Rugby
can you please pass on our best regards to her and we'll
do it
as well. Hey, you wrote an article for code.com.au.
Mm.
I haven't started reading it yet, but the eight players, you said there's eight players worth $1 million. What's that about?
Oh, it's just a bit of a topical yarn at the moment in and around what people are worth and what, you know, you're worth what whoever wants to pay. So I'm a bit like housing when you're buying a house. But for me, when you talk about the $1 million price tag, I firmly believe that if you're a $1 million player, you have to have a bearing on the scoreboard.
That's right.
So when you think about those sorts of players, you know, Daly Cherry Evans, Cameron Munster,
yep.
James Tedesco, you know, these sorts of players which make the scoreboard go up and down based on how they perform.
Yeah, have you got any frauds who are getting $1 million and aren't actually influencing games enough?
Frauds or frauds?
Yeah, I mean, of course when players sign or get offered $1 million deal, they're not going to say no, but in the fine print to that deal, they need to understand that with that price tag comes a whole lot of expectation, a whole lot of scrutiny, and a whole lot of pressure. Now, that's not just in rugby league. That's in any organisation.
So
if you're
true.
The CEO of a business and you're on $1 million, you're the main man.
Well, that's what we're saying about Margot. She needs to perform. Well, she's getting that million. She needs to perform.
And you see, you know, Ash Taylor's a bit of an example. He's now retired due to injury. Yeah. He went down the Gold Coast on a big deal and he copped a lot of criticism and a lot of scrutiny. Anthony Milford was another one of those guys. So I just firmly believe in any sport, the people that are on the most money, you look at LeBron James, you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, they have a bearing on the score.
Deliver.
Because they're
they
so
do,
good, no one do. Talks about the money then.
That's exactly right.
Just on that, and it's the big deal in Australia at the moment, cost of living pressures. Have you had a chat to your wife and about her spending?
When I start talking about anything to do with money, this invisible brick wall goes up in front of me, and that's it, yeah.
He's a smart man, Corey Parker, is he? He's believing that Margot's sick and he doesn't discuss money with her. No wonder that everything's going well over there.
I discuss it.
She just doesn't hear it.
He sure does. Hey, mate, you'll be on the side. Are you on the sideline? Where are you tonight for the Bronx?
Yeah, in studio talking about the big one between the Bronx and obviously South. And Renault's return to Sydney, so it'd be interesting how
that one's
all right.
Who wins, Cozza?
Well, South's are better than they were round one. The Broncos are better than they were. But you pull Kurt Capel out of that team, who defensively sort of has been really, really good for the Broncos. And then you pull Payne Haas, who, in my opinion, really sort of holds the Broncos together. So it should be a great game. But I hope the Bronx can keep that.
I know. They're paying $450 or something. Because have you got. Do you know about Kurt Capel's injury? Do you know how it was sustained?
He's trying to find it.
We got Kevy.
I'll try and track it down.
It was a towel related injury. He did it coming out of the shower.
There's some strange injuries that get rugby league players over the times, towel-related being one of them. I think Robert Kearns fell off a horse being another, and the list goes on, but that's a real strange one. What a brave man.
What a brave man.
What
to
a rough
with
towel,
a towel,
huh?
Hey, mate,
sandpaper.
Happy birthday. We love your work.
Thanks, bud.
Good on you, mate.
Happy birthday.
I believe we're discussing bizarre rugby league injuries coming up soon, Marto. You've got to compile a list for us, and you can read Corey's article online, codesports.com.au. You are on Triple M.
Marto and Margo. Triple M Breakfast.
Let's go back inside the rugby league world.
Rugby league.
There he is.
Who you got?
Maybe there's some inside mail here. Well, we've got the man, the myth, the laugh. The bloke who has won more Dally M's than anyone else. He's just won a casual four, if you don't mind. One and only Jonathan Thurston.
Thursday.
G'day. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What does this weekend hold for you? Which direction are you heading in?
I'm in Townsville at the moment, but fly out at 10 to Sydney, do the Broncos Rabbitohs tonight, and then I've got the Penrith Eels tomorrow night at Bluebet Stadium. So a big weekend of footy.
Can I ask first about the Broncos? If you're a gambling man, which I'm sure you're not, but I might be, I had win on them last week. If they're paying $4.50, would you think about having a go?
Oh,
no,
if Payne Haas was playing and Kurt Capel were playing, I would.
They're massive exclusions, those two boys. They've been enormous for the Broncos since the start of the year. So Adam Reynolds, is coming up against his former team. So no doubt his preparation would have been meticulous this week. And the boys will be firing to try and get him a win. Tamari Martin at the back, playing fullback, has really unlocked their attack. He's distributing the ball to Katani and Herbie Farmworth really well into spaces, and that's what they need. So if they're any chance of winning, they need to get those two boys the ball, but I can't see it happening with the two big guns on the sideline.
I gotcha. What about the surprise packets, your Cowboys? You've been going down and helping them. What's the key to the difference?
Yeah, the mental toughness, the type of training that they did during the pre-season was stuff that I'd never done before. So, and like, they would just get a time of what time they needed to be at training. They didn't know what they were doing. And then they'd throw them curveballs, you know, mid-session.
That's incredible.
Go and do something else. So, and it wasn't like just something else, like another skill set. It was like running Castle Hill or going for a run. So, yeah, their mental toughness and the belief in themselves. They're a tight-knit group. I've seen that firsthand working with them. You know, they all come in with a smile on their face. They love what they do, and but it's probably taken a while now, and I think that win against the Parramatta Eels now will really boost their confidence and no doubt that belief in themselves that they do belong up the top there of the ladder.
These surprise training sessions, were there any in the middle of the night or anything like that?
No, they did one of those army camps, which was quite brutal.
Did they kidnap him, JT? Do they rock up with like a, you know, like a hood to chuck it over and zip tie their arms and put them in the back of a white unmarked van?
So I think they had to be in there around midnight, and then they were taken somewhere. They didn't know where they were going, so they did all that type of stuff as well. But yeah, it's all, you know, they'd rock up the training thinking they're doing skills, and the coaches go, all right, we're running up Castle Hill. You know, and if anyone that's been in Townsville would know that that Castle Hill is quite a run to go up. And just, hey, you know,
do you live up there? Do you live up there somewhere?
No.
Definitely not. What do you got against Townsville, mate?
Doesn't like Castle.
It's out of my price range.
Thursday. Now you're part of the Dream Team with Billy Slater and Cam Smith in the Origin, as coaches of the Origin. Any insight into potential bolters? Like, I'm specifically thinking Jeremiah Nanai from the Cowboys, but any other bolters that you go, we've all got our eyes on him?
Yeah, there's a couple. As you mentioned, Jeremiah, he's one of them. Ruben Cotter's one of them as well. A tough little forward through the middle. He's got great leg speed and just keeps moving in defence. He's got a good motor on him. So, those two are little bolters. So we just need our boys to be fit, unlike the last couple of years. So if everyone's fit, our spine is playing really well. Harry Grant, DCE, Daly Cherry Evans, and Cameron Munster, that is good. And Benny Hunt as well, who got man of the match last year, playing hooker as an option for Billy to put him in there as well. So, our spine is playing well, which is extremely important, what you need coming into Origin. And obviously KP at the back there is struggling a bit at Newcastle. But, you know, I've been in that boat where your team is struggling, and then you get into Origin camp and you're around a really good vibe, and it brings you back to your best. So I've got no worries about his form heading into the Origin series.
You, Slater and Smith, none of you have coached. Do you actually know what you're doing, you three?
Work it out on the job, JT.
Do you need Uncle Wayne to give you a little lecture or something?
We'll leave it to Alfie.
What do you think? He knows what he's doing. Every day's a birthday. Hey, mate, we got our Legends lunch on next week before Magic Round, which is the huge weekend in Brizzy. We got the lunch on the Thursday. Who is your worst teammate ever?
Oh, worst teammate ever.
Off the field more than on.
Like a pest, most annoying.
Like a pest. Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is Travis Burns.
Played
5'8". So he's a West boy out near Roma there.
What'd he do? It was annoying.
He's just non-stop. You know, he had a running battle with Ray Cashmere 1 year, and he put a big advertisement in the local paper for a garage sale at his house.
That's gold.
So Ray has people coming to his house.
Hey, JT, before we let you go, who's the biggest tight ass you've ever played with who never got their wallet out?
I'd have to say Brent Tate.
Wonderful.
Yes, Brent Tate's the man. So,
Name
nice, mate.
On you, JT.
There's some of the stories we'll be getting at the Legends Lunch where they'll be telling real stories with no phones around. Thanks, JT. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
on yes,
you
boss.
Too. Bye.
Rabbitohs Broncos tonight, Panthers Eels tomorrow night, live and free, Channel 9 and 9 Now. It's Triple M.
Mutto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Dave Shiraz has been interesting all morning with his sports news about Kurt Capewell. One of the main reasons the Broncos are going a lot better this year is the big man who's come up from Penrith has been leading us around the pack.
He was a field goal specialist in the early days. Remember, he kicked a field. No one knew he could kick.
He can find his way to the try line through anything, Kurt Capewell. And I was looking forward to seeing him going down to Sydney and leading us up front without that big buffalo head Payne Haas. I thought, we'll need Capewell to stand up. And then you find out, as Kevy said, he's got an unexpected injury.
An injury that's sort of been aggravated over the time, and he actually hurt it drying himself with a towel.
Excuse me? With a what?
Just with a towel.
With a towel?
Yeah. Don't forget to bring a towel.
Any fans of South Park will recognise that. Now, listen, can we go through this? Sports lit it with off-field injuries.
But hang on, is Kevy taking the piss, Sam Ardo? Is that a joke? He's genuinely gone to the media and the world and said that he's hurt himself with a towel.
Well, I suppose
he's happy for that to be out there.
Everything's so highly analysed now that people would have gone back through, Kurt, where did he get hit there? Not there? In the 8th minute? No. In the 12th minute? No. They would have had a look and they're going, Kevy, I didn't see him take any injuries during the game. Why is Kurt out? And he's gone, towel. Which now...
So what's he done? Is he flossing with it?
Just go through it. Do you start with the hair, you drive face first, head then,
and then down,
and then you go front down or back down. See, I would have said as he's pulling it across his back,
is it
a crack drying maneuver?
Is it the floss? Is he wrenching it through?
Until somebody in the Broncos rings and tells us what exactly Kurt Capewell, I just looked it up, googled it. What's Kurt Capewell's injury? No specification, it's just towel related.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Thank you. Now, listen, can I go through a few others here? I've gone ridiculous NRL injuries, and everyone can have a strange injury. Peter Wallace missed the start of the season in 2016 after slicing his hand open while he was fishing.
Oh, what, on the hook, on the line? What was he doing?
Not specified. Oh. I think knife filleting. Parramatta hooker Matt Keating almost lost a finger when he was bitten by his pet bulldog Bronx. I can remember that one in 2011. Greg Eastwood, who used to play for the Broncos, the big Kiwi, he missed a game in 2011 after he stepped on his son's Lightning McQueen Lego toy. And Lightning McQueen will do that. It's got some sharp edges to it. Jack Whiten, what about when he missed 4 months in 2012, fell off his brother's trampoline?
The trampoline will get you.
A lot of these might be alcohol-related.
Yeah, no, trampolines are... The way you know that you're finished on the trampoline is when you put one leg either side of the metal bar and crush your genitals. That's when you know, we're done with the tramp for the day.
Well,
you have to
Jack
injure yourself.
Jack Whiten's lucky. It wasn't his genitals. It was only the ligaments in his ankle. 4 months out. And the worst one was, I remember when Timmy Brasher went up to the Cowboys after he was at the Tigers. He went up to the Cowboys, the great fullback. Had to get a full knee recon after falling off a chair while trying to clean the ceiling fan. Girlfriend or missus would have said, that fan is so dirty, you have to do something about it, Tim. Right, I'm right onto it, chair over. Or is it an excuse? I don't know. I think Michael Voss once dropped the trailer, the great AFL legend for the Lions.
The Lion King.
I think he dropped a trailer onto his toe and missed a couple of weeks.
He missed the toe ball.
I think the jockey wheel wasn't out or something. Now, somebody can clarify that.
If Michael Voss drops a trailer onto his foot, I'm actually concerned for the trailer. Is the toe ball still intact? Is there a ding in the trailer? Yeah, he would have thrown it into the river.
Now, listen, I'm happy to try this, but has anyone ever else missed any time off with ridiculous injuries that aren't related to their job? Like, you're an NRL player, you're getting belted by 120-kilogram people running at high velocity every week, and you're falling off a chair?
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Or you're drying yourself.
Was it not a thread count? Was it not enough thread count for your Kurt? What, was it not Egyptian cotton? How's the towel done you in?
What are we going to do here, 133353? Do we go to bathroom injuries, toweling injuries?
Let's go poxy, ridiculous, non-believable injuries. But if it is towel-related, we'll give you a prize.
Head of the queue.
We do have a Kurt on the line here, Marto from Yatla. Is it Kurt Capewell?
Is it you, Kurt?
How you going, boys?
Yeah, is it you, Kurt Capewell, or someone else, another Kurt?
I'm different Kurt, but it's a good name.
Yeah, well, yes, it is a good name, and he's a wonderful player, but he's missing tonight with a small, with a ridiculous injury. What about yourself?
I had some earmuffs on, and they just weren't sitting right, so I was trying to adjust it, and I blew out my tendon in my thumb.
You blew it out.
Wow.
You blew it out.
How strong was the spring on those headphones?
Oh, it was just a piece of plastic, and it attacked me back.
Did you go to the boss and say, I got to pack it in for the day, I'm gone?
My hand was swollen like a balloon.
Yeah, did you take the rest of the day off?
Yeah, and a little bit more.
Now, Kurt, was there part of you that went, I cannot fess up to being injured by a pair of earmuffs here? I'm going to have to blame it on the circular sword. Yeah. The boys cannot find out it was the earmuffs.
It was kickback.
Is your nickname now earmuffs, Kurt, is what I'm asking?
No, it's not, but I think it's so absurd, it's funny.
Yes, I do too. And I want, what brand were they? Because everyone's going, Jesus, they'll stick to your ears, those headphones.
You got a plug for us, Kurt? Where are they from?
Pardon?
What were they from?
What brand?
From Formula One. F1
earmuffs. Yeah, of course, safety. Yeah. They've got to have them on firmly. Thanks, Kurt. What about Shana from Ipswich? Hi, Shana.
Hi, how are you going? Unfortunately, I can relate.
To Kurt Capewell's injury?
No, but I got up one morning, as most people do, and a big yawn and a big stretch and went, oh, my God, what went wrong? And I was completely paralysed for nearly 2 weeks.
Wait, hold on. I love you because you said, as most people do, until you die, then you don't get up.
Some people don't.
What? So you stretched up, arms above the head, and then did a yawn, and something, did you dislocate something? What happened?
Well, I immediately got my kids to call for help.
Yes.
And it turns out that I had put so much pressure on my spinal cord while stretching, it went into shock. And to stop myself from being paralysed, it went, no, you've gone far enough.
Yes.
And it took, nearly 2 weeks for my spinal cord to go, you're right.
Okay. Now, Shana, at that time, did you just lie down and get up again in 2 weeks' time? Is that how this recovery, your rehab?
No, it was my neck. My neck just went, you are never moving again.
So, Shana, do you lead when you want to tell people that story that you yawned yourself into a wheelchair once?
No, but definitely when I feel a yawn coming on, I start to panic.
So, did you hear Kurt Capewell's terrible tale of the towel drying and go, oh, it can happen to anyone?
Exactly. That is why I dialed the number, because I went, you know what? Oh, I think I know what's happened here.
Shana, first time ringing us?
It is.
Oh, can we give her a prize for Shana, of course?
That's lovely.
Shana.
Are you okay now?
Yeah. Are you calling us from bed?
Okay.
No, I'm fine now, but I definitely try not to yawn very much.
Well, next time you yawn, you could be off to the Paralympics.
All right, Shana, be careful with yourself. Make sure you wear a neck brace when you go to Jessica James at the barracks. We'll give you a blow dry, right?
Thank you so much.
Hey, listen, Shana, here's some good news. We got a text from Kurt Capewell. He's confirmed that he's been carrying the injury for a couple of weeks, like yours. And when he was toweling off, as in drying himself, he moved the wrong way, hit a nerve, like you, while he was drying his head. So it was a head. It was like you. It was a neck.
See? I told you. I knew exactly what had happened.
He's hoping to be back next week.
You can't do... You two, you need to be a team. He can do the yawning for you and you can towel down Kurt Capewell. All right, Shana?
Not sure how he would approve.
Okay. The world's such a dangerous place.
You got to watch those.
You don't even have to leave home to get in trouble.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
They'll come to you. Relax and make yourself feel good. Free parking in the barracks. JessicaJames.com.au, the hair salon. That's who Shane is getting a blow dry.
Be careful.
Yeah, don't towel her down after.
Look straight ahead. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco. Can I ask, if you've got a very, very specific job, like a lot of people have a job that has breadth to it and width, I do a bit of this, do a bit of that, do a bit of that. But if you do a job and there's just, I just do that, and it's really specific and a little bit odd, like if you're a hawker, a person who owns a falcon, it sits on your leather-braced arm, and you work at Suncorp Stadium making sure pigeons don't poo on the seats. If that's your job, 133353, I'd like to talk to you, because yesterday I pulled up at the Nudgee Dump. Now, I believe Willawong's got a lot of ibises at the dump, but the Nudgee Dump, if that's not the world headquarters for ibises, I don't know what is. And I've spoken about it before, and I've spoken to the guys at the dump there, sorry, refuse transfer station. I've spoken to them before, and they go, oh, you just can't get rid of them. Well, yesterday... Well,
you can get rid of them, but they don't want to... You know, there's a way you can get rid of them that they probably don't want to talk about.
The grader in the pit there at Nudgee, I watched that, like, there'd be 1,000 ibises in front of it, and a split second before the grader was about to squish them, they jump out of the way, grader goes past, and they jump back in where they were. They're immovable, like they just...
Why don't you put some glue down on the grader? Well, all I'm just saying, there is a way to get rid of them, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the way. They figured it out, because I'm driving up into the main part. If anyone knows the Nudgee Dump, it's the same as all the other ones. There's a main building where you back up and you put all your stuff into the pit. So just before I drive into that part, there's a guy walking along, had high vis. And, mate, you might be a Triple M listener. Give us a yell if you are. He had, I just went, whoa, stopped. And he was right like a metre away from my window. I said, mate, he had a whip in his hand.
As in a
leather whip. As in one of those.
A whip.
Had one of those. I said, are you, and I just put two and two together immediately. I said, are you an ibis whipper? And he said, sure am.
How did you guess that straight up?
Well, what else is a bloke doing with a whip? Is he shooting a porno or something? Like,
Has he found it at the tip, though?
No.
Has he found a tip whip? And he's like, I'm taking this home.
But there's no one walking. He was walking up the ramp towards the main building. And I just went straight away. I bet you that's what's going on
he's
here.
He's an ibis whipper.
Because they've been trying to get rid of the ibis there or move them on, which you never will completely. No. But he cracks the whips and they get excited. And then in his other hand, I said, is that a mirror?
What?
He had this mirror, would have been 200 mil by 200 mil, 20 centimetres by 20 centimetres, mirror. I said, what do you do with that? And he turned around and the sun, it was just breaking through the clouds. He started shining it and there was ibises about 100 metres away, shone it into their faces. And
he's a sniper.
So they've gone, you can't, because I said to him, wouldn't it be easier to use a gun? He said, well, we can't do that.
Yeah, don't they learn? How dumb are they? Don't they learn that nothing's going to happen?
But
he's a scare ibis, mate, right. Like a scare crow you've heard of.
What do you do? Like, he goes to the pub and people say, what do you do? I'm an ibis whipper. Because I said, are you an ibis whipper? I don't know if that's his, but he said, sure am. And if that's not the most specific job, well,
it's got to be.
There might be somebody else. 133353, or hit us on the text line 0484 10 1045. The most specific, like a really specific job.
You only do one thing. Anything outside of that is not your purview.
If one job.
We've got a prize for you for the most specific job in Brizzy, Marto.
If you paint the black line on every public swimming pool in Brisbane, I want to speak to you right now. 133353, specific job. There are prizes. Says from Greenbank. How, mate?
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. What do you do?
Mate, I clean our bitumen tanks.
Is that at a plant before they go into trucks? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I clean. What happens is they fill the bitumen up. It gets all the excess that's around the outside.
I
drop the inside and I get in there with a water blaster and blast it out.
You go in there.
Yeah, I go in there.
That's tough job.
That's all you do?
What are you dressed in?
Set of overalls.
Is that it? But you must ruin them. Like, I don't get... Like, you get low... Is there a ladder or do you get lowered in?
There's a ladder inside.
Yeah, okay.
So is it only bitumen, Seth? Because we're talking specific jobs. You refuse to clean anything that's not a bitumen tank.
You won't do concrete?
Just bitumen,
Marto. Specific.
Where does the bitumen slurry go at the after you've cleaned the walls of the tank?
Mate, we put it into bags and then we either reuse it or it gets... Oh. Yeah.
Are there perks of your very specific job? Like if you've got a neighbour who says, I've got a bloody big pothole in front of my house, can you take one of those bags around and jam it in there?
Not always, but sometimes. Okay. Depending on what type of bitumen it is.
Okay.
See, it's a specific job, Marto, so it requires a very specific problem that he could help out with. So
incredible. If we've ever got... Well, can we put you down on our list, on our whiteboard as the bitumen expert? Would you mind?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Seth.
I think we've talked enough bitumen.
You're in, mate.
Well, just about do me for bitumen.
Sure, we hook him up. How about some movie ticks? Do you go to the movies, Seth, or do you only clean bitumen tanks? Is that all you do?
Yeah, that's all I do.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Does it get the chicks, Sess? Do girls swoon and go, bitch, man, you swore, that's aftershave.
Yeah, coming up pretty dirty ones out of the tank.
Hey, we don't mind a bit of that, you know.
No, we better go.
Yeah, there's a market for that. All right, Top Gun from May 26th. Dendy Cinemas, home of quality cinema. Dendy.com.au to book tickets. You can see Sess there. Mano and Margo on
Triple M Breakfast. Biggest overnight news in the world of sport was the function that was held in Port Moresby last night, put on by the Papua New Guinea government. They have entered the race to be the NRL's 18th team.
Now, like the league.
Thank there you, Pete. Well, that's what it'll depend on. And he said over the last few years, yes, we want an 18th team. Of course, the Dolphins, who we're supporting here at Triple M, they're the 17th team. Mm. So now the 18th team, it's been up and a lot of people going, oh, we've got to be in Wellington in New Zealand, or got to be in Perth because of the time difference and it fits in well with the broadcasters.
Okay.
There's only one nation on earth where rugby league is the national sport. 9 million people in Papua New Guinea love rugby league. How many people love it in Australia? 4 million, maybe 3 million, and still it's highly supported sport.
Good point.
If there's, you know, in Queensland, New South Wales, if there's, what, 5 million people live in Queensland, 8 in New South Wales, that's 13 million. Let's say half of them love rugby league. There's only 6 million people.
Half, yep.
And that's 15 teams. It seems it's quite logical. Everyone's going, oh, no, it won't fit in, won't fit in. The government of New Guinea is behind it, and we know how much dough they've got. Most it's in their own bank accounts, individual bank accounts because of corruption, etc. But quite simply, they've got the dough. They've got the big companies that want to throw themselves on the jersey, so they'll pay for themselves. And you have a look at this lineup. I've just put a little bit of a lineup together. If you take Justin Olam away from the outstanding left centre from the Storm.
We're building the team
James
now.
James Seguiaro. Okay. We'll talk about James Seguiaro is spared. David Mead, he's been playing NRL this year. Xavier Coates is a New Guinea kitty. He'd be in. Lockie Lamb still running around. The coach would be Adrian Lamb and Neville Costigan and maybe Marcus Bai running the water. It's starting to look like not pie in the sky stuff. And here we go here. We have worked, this is them, we have worked secretly behind the scenes for the last 2 years to put all this together.
Right.
I know violence is a problem in New Guinea. It doesn't say it here, but I'm guessing that every player on arrival in PNG would probably get a gun and they'd feel safe for the short. You'd just fly in just before the game, go from the airport to the bus, run on the field, have a heavy security, run off the field, back to the bus, to the plane.
Well, let him go wild, Marto. A bit of tackling practice on the way to the stadium, you know, mate. Just rough you up a little bit. Just as long as you keep Kirk Capewell away from his towel, we'll be all right.
If that's the biggest injury. So there you have it. They're saying it won't happen next year. Well, of course it won't, because that's not going to happen. It'll happen in a while. So PNG want to be the team. Keep an eye on that one.
Interesting. Marto's thought on sport.
Rugby league.
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit ToyotaMaterialHandling.com.au. Triple M Breakfast
with Marto and Margo. Oh, let's talk Formula One. We don't do it very often, but Daniel Ricciardo, the Western Australian superstar Formula One driver, might be in a little bit of trouble.
He was meant to win it all, Marto. They were saying that early days, he's going to take it out one day.
And they're going, McLaren, the car's good this year, but Daniel Ricciardo's hopped in there and he's in a little bit of trouble. And there's a young guy wandering around. Of course, there are young kart drivers who get to the next level. There's a young guy called Colton Herta. He's an American kid. He's gunning for Daniel Ricciardo's seat. And you go, oh, how is this possible? He's the superstar. Well, if you haven't been watching Formula One, and so many people have since it's been on Netflix, quite simply, his star is on the wane. He's the other driver at McLaren is, of course, Lando Norris, and there's some damning statistics starting to poke their heads out. Mm. Of course, you know, Daniel Ricciardo always puts a smile on, but behind that, there might be trouble. It's no secret. He's having trouble keeping up with the younger British teammate. That's Lando Norris. Listen to some of these. In the 26 races they've been together at McLaren, okay? Now, Daniel Ricciardo's the fourth oldest driver in the whole of Formula One.
He's oldest now.
That's what happens.
In my mind, he's always the young gun.
But, mate, it was in...
I mean, well, that's how time works as time moves on.
You go back to 2011. That's when he was, got out of Red Bull. He'd already been going for 4 years in there. So he's been around the scene for so long. Then he went to Renault.
Yeah.
Then he went to McLaren. So he was supposed to be the senior driver. Listen to some of these. In the 26 races they've been racing together, this young Lando Norris and him, Norris has finished ahead of Ricciardo 18 times. Same vehicle, same setup, supposed to be faster, Ricciardo. And in qualifying, Norris leads 19-7, including 4-0 this year. So in terms of their head-to-head, you're going, which one's our best driver for McLaren? Who are we going to hang on to? Just the tip of the iceberg, it's one-way traffic. The Australian's falling further and further behind. He's getting beaten in roughly 3 out of each 4 races, but he's now getting a lesson at every corner. They do all their data. Every long straight, as well as practice qualifying, fastest lap, and getting to the checkered flag.
Now, would he say he's got the number 2 car? Because that's what Mark Webber used to say about Vettel. Remember there was that press conference where he smashed the water down because they took his wing?
You're looking after them, not me.
And the old joke was, I thought Red Bull was meant to give you wings, but they took Webber's wing off him and gave it to Vettel.
And you go, well, he hasn't claimed that yet, but you probably get to that. Yeah. The thing is, you go, well, I hope Daniel's going to be all right. Now, last year, he had an annual salary of approximately $22 million. He's a net worth of $50 million, and he just spent $13 million on a mansion in Beverly Hills. I hope to God that he doesn't get caught up in these cost of living pressures.
Poor bugger.
Now, poor bugger.
What are interest rates going to do to him, Marto?
I hope everything's going to be okay.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
But listen, Dan, we haven't properly introduced you, but apart from extensive radio experience, you also do the weather on the Today Show on the weekend.
Weekend stuff. So Tim does Monday to Friday, and I'll chip in Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Okay. So are you enthusiastic about your weather?
I don't mind a dam level, I'll be honest with you, Marto. Okay. If the Whopper Dam is at 114%, you've got me.
There's a lot to unpack in that. Now, listen, if anyone's driving now it's getting a bit light. There's a couple of little showers and storms off the islands, off Stratty and Moreton. That's where you'll see the clouds on your east. But I want to go through this. The Bureau of Meteorology dropped the ball in many ways in that flood that occurred in February.
Big time. Big time.
But if you're a regular Triple M listener, you'll know that we spoke to Higgins Storm Chasers, and they predicted the whole bloody thing. They predicted Lismore. They predicted what was going to happen here. And straight after that, I became a premium subscriber.
So who are they? What's their caper?
They used to just chase storms for photos. That's how they started. Like, there was the guy who worked here was part of their early troop, and you'd turn to Upwork and go, where's Marty? And they'd go, oh, I don't know. He'd ring in and he'd go, I'm up at Bundaberg. I kept chasing. They chase storms and
literally,
they take photos.
They'll see one and they'll drive after it. And they'll just end up wherever they end up.
They check the radar if they know there's a storm developing. So they get those wonderful shots of the heads of storms and stuff. So they're not in amongst them. They try to stay 10Ks away. That's how they originated. But then they became amateur enthusiasts into full-on professional, what's the weather doing? They are now the supreme weather forecasters in Queensland and New South Wales, in my opinion.
If they called that all that flood activity.
All right. That's right. They call both those floods, and the Bureau of Meteorology got caught short. Right. I get because I'm a premium subscriber now, I went, I got to get into these guys. They've sent me a very important email overnight. Queensland state widespread heavy rain and potential flooding initial alert issued yesterday. Underlined all of this. Please read this forecast information very carefully. I can't read the whole lot because it goes on forever. But this is a similar, this is for next Tuesday to next Saturday, okay? Everyone get ready for this. Similar type of system that caused the major flooding in southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales recently. However, it is expected to cover a much larger area.
What?
It's basically most of the coast of Queensland below Cairns.
Jesus.
How far do we go? The low will develop over South Australia on Monday before moving into Queensland on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, possibly next weekend. The longer the upper low remains overland, the more rain we will get. We're already looking at possibly 5 to 7 days of non-stop rain for parts of the state, especially the eastern half. So they're talking about the whole of Queensland. When you get down to the map, they're talking up to a metre of rain in 5 days around Maryborough. Now, we know how badly that flooded recently, earlier this year, and they're saying 200 to 500 mil in Brisbane.
You're kidding.
That's quite simply what I'm saying. Northern New South Wales.
What, any news for them? Because those poor bastards are still struggling.
They're including Northern New South Wales approximately in this. If you want to go to Higgins, buddy, get stuck into it. But I guess after today, probably the official weather people will start to cotton on to this.
Jesus.
Yeah, down Northern New South Wales, I'm just checking the map now, not as much, but around Maribyrnong and Bundaberg are going to get whacked and we're going to get the tail end. So they're saying it's going to... If you've got anything that'll susceptible to rain, get it covered up or whatever, or get yourself sorted out before Tuesday. That's the warning that I want to give you right here, right now.
Thank you, Marto. You're on Triple M.